Well, today we're here to talk about the church. This is continuing in a series that we've been teaching in for, I think this is the third or fourth week now. I've been in kid mode, so I've been a little disconnected from this service teaching the kids and had a blast in there. So that's been turned over to somebody else for the month, so I'm in here teaching this morning. And guys, this is an exciting topic, although it doesn't sound like it on the surface. I mean, we're talking about how the church works and how it's organized and how it's like, it's about as exciting as learning about Congress, isn't it? I mean, really, when you think about this, I mean, we think about church politics and church offices and officers and pastors and teachers and all this. Well, that wasn't the way it was intended in Scripture to be. The church is an exciting, dynamic body of believers. It's one of the most exciting things in the world. It is the most exciting thing in the world. And we're the called out ones who belong to the God. We are His children. And we should be excited about that every week. That's what church is all about. The purpose of the church, and I love this. It's as simple as it gets. The purpose of the church is to honor God and make disciples. Wow, we sure make it a lot more complicated than that. What were we doing worshiping? We were honoring God. Wow, that is really a hard concept to grasp, isn't it? We came, part of this morning's service, so to speak, was to honor God through worship. Now, obviously, we're honoring Him. We're also getting something out of it for us. It's feeding our souls. It's feeding us things we need to know. Often relieves burdens. It puts us in the proper spirit to learn. You know, the third song this morning I really liked, the one about our faith not being alone. And we're going to talk a lot about discipleship today and partnering together in things and how we're not alone in this thing called the church. And we're all in it together, and that's what excites me so much is being a part of it with other people. It's not just me and Mark or me and Mark and the band or me and Mark and the teachers. It's all of us together. There's no level of hierarchy here. You know, we're all in this together, and I want to talk about that a little bit this morning. So, guys, let's have a word of prayer before we start. Father, I thank You this morning. I thank You for the good time of worship and the talented musicians and folks we have leading us here and singers, God, and the talent that they come and they sacrifice their time in order to help lead others into worship with You, God. And we thank You so much for them and the job they do. God, I thank You for this opportunity this morning to come and teach Your people, our brothers and sisters, those who claim to know You as Savior, God, that we can come together this morning and learn more about You and more about how the church should work and what it should all be about, God. Just pray this morning that You will put aside any petty differences we may have or any preconceived notions we have about how church works, God, and just bless and just pray that You'll speak through me, God, this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're talking about honoring God and making disciples. I think Jesus' greatest concern before He left the earth was to make sure that the gospel was carried out. You know, and oftentimes I think even in the church, the body that should be the absolute expert on what the gospel is, we sometimes get that kind of out of whack, what the gospel even is. The gospel is simply telling the story of Jesus and who He is and what He's done for us. That's as straightforward as it gets. It has nothing to do with the day you meet, the time you meet, whether you have Sunday school, whether you have small groups, whether you, you know, how the type of worship music you have. The gospel is simply who Jesus is and what He's done for us. He's done the same for every one of us. And that's what puts us all on a level playing field, is who He is and what He's done for us. But Jesus gave us some specific instructions about that. And this is found in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." This is proving who Jesus is. He says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of this age." Jesus has some very specific things in mind in the scripture. He's talking about teaching, observing things that He's already said, that He's commanded. And He says, "I'm with you." That's what that song was about this morning. You're not alone in your faith. He was there then. He was there before the existence of time as we know it. He is here today, this morning. We are not alone in our faith. But Jesus has given us certain commandments and things to do. Well, how do we practically go about doing that? None of us were there when Jesus lived, so we kind of have to look back to Scripture to see some hints of how this whole structure of church and discipleship and learning all works. Well, first of all, Jesus had a circle of associates around him, we call it today. They were his team members. He was the team leader. He invested greatly in those people around him. We call them disciples. We call them apostles. Those people that were around Jesus, he invested greatly in their lives. They lived life together as a group. They shared burdens. They shared good times. They shared bad times. They shared hunger and thirst. They were people just like us. There were many things. You know, it talks in scriptures about Jesus did not have a place to lay his head. He was traveling all the time. This group was traveling with him. So we know they had to become close. If you travel with people for any length of time, any of you ever toured with a band here? Anybody done that? Oh, we got one old rocker here that's cheered with a band or two. Hey, you learn a lot about people when you're with them that often. If you're there every weekend doing shows together and that sort of thing, you start learning about each other. And you may learn some things you don't want to know about each other, honestly. That may not be a good thing. But these guys have been together with Jesus, and they are who become the first elders in the church. And Jesus said that elders were appointed in every church to assure the integrity of the gospel. What we want to make sure is as the church goes forward from the time that Jesus leaves this earth till he returns is to make sure the message that the teaching of Jesus, of his life and what he did for us, is kept the same. We don't need to add to it. We don't need to take away from it. We want to make sure that that message's integrity is maintained. And that's what these apostles were charged with, these people that we're going to learn to who become elders in the church, they were charged with assuring the integrity of the gospel. This next verse is from Titus chapter 1, verse 5. This is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. So see, there was something going on here. As the church was forming in its early years, in its early stages, there was an organizational structure that was forming within the church of people that were leading the church. They were leading out. And again, remember, this wasn't so they could have the proper structure to take up offerings. This wasn't so they could figure out how to organize and build a building. This wasn't so we knew who brought the proper dessert to the covered dish. This was so that there were people in place to lead the church forward and maintain the integrity of the gospel. That's what these elders were. These were the people that were appointed to lead the church and make sure the message stayed pure. It was no more complicated than that. We often try and figure out what these offices were and how they worked. You know, the problem with all that is Scripture doesn't tell us what their responsibilities really were. You know, we have a vague idea of what the responsibilities are, but we have no idea how they carried them out. It's not like you get a team manual and you open it up and Jesus said, okay, you're elder ABC, you do this, 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 here's the structure, now run with it. It was not like that, because I think there's a greater purpose in elders than structure and organization and all that. There's a greater purpose there in teaching and bonding and being one people. And I think that's what we're going to see as we continue through this. Let's look now at Titus chapter 1, on down in verse 9. It says, he must hold firm. This is talking about the qualifications of an elder, kind of the type of person they are. He must hold firm to the trustworthy word is taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it. Some key words in that. He's got to hold firm. He can't sway with every time somebody comes out with a new idea about something and say, oh, yeah, let's go with that. There are churches today that are failing all over America because their leadership changes the plan all the time. It's not about who Jesus was and what he's done for us. It's not about the gospel. It's about my interpretation of the gospel and how I think we should do it. And I don't know if I believe in hell. But I do believe in hell. I believe everybody's going to hell. I believe nobody's going to hell. That's not what the gospel's about. The gospel is about Jesus and what he taught. And when we start doing that, we don't hold firm to the word that Jesus taught. Elders are to give instruction. Somebody's got to help teach us. Most of us have sat under another pastor, have gone to school somewhere. Someone has given us some instruction over time. How many of you went to school at some point in your life? Yeah, I think everybody. Now, some of you may not have graduated. We're not going to get into all of that. But we went to school and we were given instruction by people that had knowledge about a subject and were trying to portray it and give it to us in a means that we can understand it. One of the most important things is taking that knowledge that we have and being able to give it to you in a form that you can use it in your everyday life. So we have a responsibility here of giving instruction in sound doctrine. Excuse me. and also to rebuke those who contradict it. One of the roles of the elders in the church was and is to make sure that that integrity of that message is maintained by saying, hey, that's wrong. I don't believe that. Scripture says this. Now, we can't do that on our opinion. That's where we get messed up at. We have these, what is often described as worship wars. How does your church worship? Do you use hymns? Do you use modern music? Do you have drums on your stage? Guys, that's not doctrine, and that is not what the Scripture is talking about, rebuking people over. I rebuke thee because you have drums on the stage. It's not part of the gospel. Yeah, that's silliness. Those are petty things that Jesus never intended us to be sitting here 2,000 years later debating about. He intended us to be here this morning talking about who he is and what he's done for us. So finally, some more, this will be the last of this set of scriptures here. Let's talk about in 1 Peter chapter 5, some more things about who the elders are. So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock, and when the chief shepherd comes, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. A few things in this passage of Scripture as well that stick out as far as what the role of the elder in the church is. Exercising oversight. Just making sure things don't fall apart. Now, sometimes through no one's fault, things do fall apart here. Things break. Sound systems don't work right. Video projectors go out. But we have some oversight there. We try and keep everything going on a Sunday morning. There's building maintenance that have to make sure somebody takes care of. You know, did somebody, you know, get the music together this week? Did the set list get set up? All those are things that are kind of oversight that go on. But the main oversight is making sure that everything we do as a church, going back to the purpose of the church, making disciples and worshiping. Do you think there's a connection there? Do you think that somehow the music that we use for worship to lead us should lead us into being better disciples of Christ? Certainly think so. And that's part of the elders' responsibilities to make sure that everything we do as a church, as an oversight, is leading us towards a relationship with Jesus Christ or a stronger relationship with Jesus Christ. And the other thing is not to be domineering over those in charge. Have you ever seen anybody that gets just a little bit of power and it goes to their head? Yeah. We'll go back to the band example for my band guys up here. We often say some band members, you know what, and Kelly's not here this morning. He's the one that told me this. Many, many band leaders fall to LSD problems. It's called lead singer's disease. They get the giant big head. I'm in charge now. Yeah, Josh, I think we're not talking about you. It's okay. There's not a humbleness in some leaders. They're there and they say, I'm the leader. You'll do it my way because I'm the leader and I know the best for you. That's not what elders are about either. Elders are here to exist on the earth with you and to lead life with you and be part of it with you and to be examples. It means there's some pretty high qualifications for elders. And we're not going to get into all the qualifications today because I want to start with why it's important, and then we'll see what the qualifications are. But to be examples, oh my goodness, that means I have to live like Jesus would live if I want to be an elder. Wow, that's a lot of responsibility. Anybody here live like Jesus every day? If you raise your hand, he's going to smite you. He knows you. He knows me. We don't live like Jesus every day. None of us live in sinless perfection like Jesus did. Jesus was smart enough to realize that and realize that there are people that need to be examples and need to be encouragers, but they're not going to be perfect. And Mark and I aren't perfect by any means. Well, I'll speak for you, Mark. Are you perfect? Oh, okay, good. I was hoping he would admit that. That was going to ruin the whole sermon if he didn't admit that. But yeah, we're not perfect, but we feel a desire to share the gospel with others and lead through example in doing that. And that's really all of this is to set up what I want to talk to you about today is how this functionally works in a church, what it's all about. You know, who are the elders? What will they be doing here? Not specifically job tasks, but the responsibilities and what we're trying to show through you as a faith community, how to become better disciples of Jesus. Now, maybe I better explain that just a little bit. Being a disciple of Jesus simply means that you've committed your life to learning how Jesus lived and living like him. A very simple concept, shouldn't be too complicated. And we learn that by studying the gospel, which is how Jesus lived and what he did and what he's done for us. It's a very simple thing, but it takes some dedication to do that. One of the things that, and I was, as I was studying for this, there are very few examples in Scripture, like I said, of just how this works, of how these elders and things work. It's like an apprenticeship program that as disciples come on, there's got to be somebody to apprentice them. You know, any of the, you guys or ladies that have been in a union or anything like this, they're big on apprenticing you in the trades. There's somebody there that's a master craftsman that teaches you how to do what they do. And that's the whole concept behind elders. These are the people that are there to help teach you how to do what they do. And I think here in our community, not in this immediate faith community called Journey, but in our community of Chattanooga and the surrounding area, that may be a foreign topic to some people. The pastor is looked on as the chief spiritual guy. He's who does everything. That's not the scriptural model for this. We're all supposed to be doing basically the same thing. Mark and I are supposed to be teaching you how to do what we do. Uh-oh. How many people just want to bug out right now and say, that's not for me. I don't want that level of commitment. But that's what it takes to be a disciple of Jesus. You have to make some level of commitment in your life to try and live like Jesus lived. That doesn't mean you're perfect at it, but it means you need to be striving to be more like Christ on a daily basis. That means if you've ever had a pastor you look up to, and it's probably not me and Mark, but if you have some godly pastor you look up to, you're supposed to act like him. Think of the most godly person you know and how, in your opinion, they live their life. You're supposed to be doing the same thing. There are not religious professionals and non-professionals in this business. That's not the way it works. Just because someone is paid to be on staff at a church doesn't mean they're any better than you, they're any smarter than you, and that they don't have the same struggles that you do. We all have the same struggles deep down inside. We all have temptations and things. We all fall short. Paul talks about in the Bible, there's things I should do and I don't do, and things I shouldn't do, and I go ahead and do them. So if he had that struggle, what makes anyone think that we don't? That every one of us in the room doesn't have those problems? But these elders in Scripture and today are a unique set of people that have committed their lives to sharing how to live life with you. Just as the example of Jesus did, he was the guy that was teaching the disciples. He was showing them. And you know, countless times in Scripture, I know Jesus had to go, I have to tell you again. They were fighting amongst themselves about who was greatest. They were asking all these questions. Jesus is going, gosh, we live together every day. We tour together. We eat together. We pray together. How can you not get this? But Jesus continued to teach them. That shows there's a pattern here of all of us falling short and not doing what we want or what God would want us to do. And it's okay. What's not okay is not to try and do it. To just get in a rut and think, I'm as spiritually mature as I can ever be. I've arrived, and I'm not going to do anything else. That's crazy. That's baloney. We don't need to do that. We need to be committed each day to trying to live better and living more like Christ would have us to live. You know, I don't think that you really learn something till you live it. Would y'all agree with me there? Till you live it day by day, it's just up here. A lot of people have a lot of knowledge in their head, but then when it comes to living every day, they have no idea how to do it. They don't know what to do with that knowledge. And you know why? Because they're not sharing their life with somebody that is an elder, a disciple, or somebody that's showing them how to live it. So they get discouraged and think, well, this faith thing, it doesn't work for me. It must work for those guys because they're better spiritual people than me. It's not working for me. Hey, it doesn't work for us sometimes. It doesn't always work out the way we think it would. But we try and live out life by faith that Christ is going to guide us through this. And the best example I can think of is Peter. Peter was kind of the hothead of the group that was following Christ. He was always asking questions and doing things, but he was also the most bold one of the bunch. You know, he was the one that something's going to happen. He's going to jump up and say, I'll do it. You watch me, God. Watch me, Jesus. I'll do it for you. You watch me. What happened? Times got tough. The leaders of the church at that time decided they didn't like what Jesus was teaching. They went to the government and put the government against him. And so Jesus is basically what we would call in jail on death row. is what it amounted to. He's going to be crucified. Now, what's Peter's response to all this? Hey, didn't we see you with that teacher, that Jesus guy earlier? No, not me. They ask him again, didn't we see you? No. It even says in the Bible that he said a curse. It said, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not that man. Just earlier, he was willing to die for Jesus and said, I'll do whatever. What happened? You know what I think happened? And I think this is what happens to us all the time. He had learned it, but he wasn't living it yet. There was a difference there. He knew what he was supposed to do. He knew what the proper response was. But when he got ready to say, do you know him? Instead of saying, yes, I do, and I'm a follower of his, and I'll die for him, he said, nope, don't know him. I don't have any idea what you're talking about. Happens to us all the time. Happens to us all the time. As we live life together and rub shoulders with people that may not be Christians, and they know we are, oh my goodness, you talk about some things that can get tough in a hurry. People will sometimes ask you questions just to see how you react and to see what your response is. One of the funniest things I can remember, and I think Mark will remember this, one of our first interest meetings, one of my good friends, Randy, was there. Randy's a bit of a nut. Randy is a Christian. I don't know where he's at in his walk right now, but Randy's he's a great guy. He's still a friend of mine. Just saw him last weekend, as a matter of fact. Randy comes up telling Mark he's a devil worshiper. Just because Randy's funny like that. He just wanted to see what his reaction. He wasn't meaning ill intended. And Mark's like, that guy really a devil? Well, no. Why? What did he say to you? But people will sometimes do things like that. Randy was doing it out of humor and jesting. But sometimes people will say that to see what our real reaction is. Sometimes people will put you on the spot to see who you are and what you really believe. That's what happened to Peter. Now, Peter goes on. He makes a pretty good recovery from that on over in Scripture. He does some things. Christ tells us that he's the rock that the church is founded on. He's the man after a point in time, after he starts living it. But some of the things we need to talk about in this community is there's people of all different walks here this morning. And I don't know everybody's personal story this morning. I know most of you here, but I don't know where you're at in your spiritual walk. And that's what makes church such a difficult thing for us to do sometimes. There are people here at all levels of spiritual maturity. There are people here, granted, in a room this size, there might be somebody here that doesn't even know who Jesus is and what he's done for them and isn't following them. They're not wanting to be a disciple. They're just questioning. My life's all messed up, and I've heard this place called the church can help me with it. You have those people. You have other people that have committed their lives, but they're not there yet, and they're wanting to learn more. The whole purpose of being here is so I can learn more, so I can be more like Christ. I can learn how to weather the storms in my life. That's the reason I'm here. And then you have others that are like Mark and I, that are the teachers, that are here trying to share what we've learned through life experiences and through studying the Scriptures and through God's inspiration to us so that we can share with you how to live life. So we have all those groups here this morning. So I can't say that church on Sunday is for the saved, it's for the unsaved, it's for Christians, it's for non-Christians. It's for all of us. And the best example I could get of that, and Karen and I were talking about this actually in the car the other night. She kind of helped me come up with this. It's like the commercials about, I believe it's Erlanger, the teaching hospital. You've seen those commercials. Right? We're a teaching hospital. What does that mean then? It means there are sick people there, there are well people there, and there are teachers there that are teaching the sick how to minister to the sick to make them well. That's a pretty daggum good example of what the church should be. We're often told that the church is a hospital for people that are suffering and needy and need Christ. Absolutely. So it's where you get the sick people. The sick people come to us. We need to show them how to get well, okay? So Mark and I, as teachers, we want to show you how to get well, but we want to teach you how you can teach people to get well. So we're a teaching organization. So there are all walks of life here this morning, people that are from any extreme, from people that don't even know Christ to people that want to learn more to people that are wanting to teach others about him. And that's what makes church so messy and so difficult sometimes, is you have to cover all those avenues. And the way Scripture teaches us to do that is to be teachers who teach others to make disciples. You know, If you were in, how many of you guys like pro football? Yeah, we got some pro football people here. You know, except, what's that team, the Packers? I don't think they're even in the pro league. Oh, I'm sorry. Did that offend someone? Yes, yeah, I know. She had a Packers jersey on even. Absolutely. Just teasing. If you were looking at, though, who do you think is one of the smartest quarterbacks in the NFL? Peyton Manning. It, no matter whether you're a Packers fan, a Titans fan, a Colts fan, Tom Brady? Oh, okay. See, I'm going to get some rivalry going. I knew I could get some energy out of you guys before it was over. It takes pro football to get it. Okay, I'm going to remember that. Pro football is a key thing to mention. But Peyton Manning, as an example, when he is on the field, he's not only playing the game. What else do you think he does on the field? He coaches on the field. Exactly. He is a playing coach most of the time. When he is out there, he's not only performing his role as quarterback, he's performing the role as teacher. He's out there trying to show the other guys, hey, here's what I see the defense. I read this. They've done this before, and I know how we should react to this. Okay, guys, here's what we do. We do this. It's like a teaching moment, a teaching pastor, a teaching organization. He's one of the guys that's showing others how to do it. Now, unfortunately, I don't think Mark and I are nearly as good at Peyton Manning at this. If we were, you know, I don't know what things would look like, but I'm not that good. But our role, do what? Oh, man, she's being ugly this morning. I shouldn't have started that. Oh, but guys, seriously, you know, we're not that great that we realize that we don't have faults as well. But the whole thing I want you to realize this morning about elders, and just to tell you for now, we're looking at instituting more elders and expanding that role in our church. We want other people doing what Mark and I do and that have the passion for making disciples, because that's what we've boiled it down to. This organization exists to make disciples. It exists to make other people, to have them learn the things we've learned so that they can teach others and so that the gospel of Jesus Christ is preserved and spread throughout the land. It's a pretty simple thing. That's what that first verse we opened with talked about, was making disciples and going to all nations. Well, that doesn't mean that olives have to be a missionary in South Africa somewhere. I always wanted Hawaii. It was always mine. You know, I figure if any place needs missionaries, it's got to be Hawaii, and I will be the one that, if God, if I've got to be a missionary, I think I'll go there. But, you know, we do need to spread the gospel. That's one of the roles of the church, is making disciples. Why are we making disciples? Why? We don't want to make disciples just so you guys will be smart and know a bunch of things. We want to make disciples so that you'll go out and do something with that knowledge, so that you'll go out and be a part of the community. Every ministry that we have here should be focused at making disciples. And that is the role of elders. Up until this time, as now we're a established church, we've been a church plant, Mark and I have performed the role of elders. There's been two of us. We want more than that. We want other peoples that want to commit to that level, that see what Journey's doing here, have a passion for reaching others in not only this community, but everywhere. We want some more people to come alongside us and do that. And so we're going to expand that eldership team and that concept. Now, does that mean everybody has to be up here teaching on stage? No. That's just one of the role of elders. You can teach just as much by living your life as you can being up here. You can teach more by living it than you can saying it. And that's where a lot of people get messed up, is they think, well, I can come once on Sunday. I'll come and I'll get my fix of church on Sunday morning for an hour and I'll leave. Well, the problem is, if you don't have somebody that's living it with you, I'll guarantee you, you will not be able to live it by yourself during the week. It is very difficult if somebody's not walking that walk with you. And that's one of the things that we want to start doing, is start looking at ways that we can walk that walk with you and explore life together. And you guys become, we all become a part of each other's lives. That sounds like some kind of hippie commune thing from the 60s, but that, you know, there is some value in us sharing each other's burdens, knowing what's going on in each other's lives, supporting each other, teaching each other, living life together as a body of Christians for one purpose and one purpose only, to make more disciples so more people know the good news about Jesus Christ. That's it. You know, that can spread everywhere. You know, and I was thinking today, or not today, but this week as I was preparing this, the reach of Journey and how far that reaches. It's not just about Hickson or Soddy Daisy or Chattanooga or North Georgia. You know, we have influence all over the place that we sometimes don't even realize. You know, we're on bands today for some reason. So I said, you know, the words that come to mind to me are, you know, from Phoenix, Arizona, all the way to Tacoma, Philadelphia, Atlanta, L.A. Anybody remember those lyrics? Steve Miller Band, the great immortal Steve Miller, you know. Well, while the rest of that song is probably trash, that part kind of works today, though. As far as where we go with what we're teaching, where we go with what we're doing, why elders are important, why the church is important, it's to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to as many people as can hear it. What it's for. And thinking about Journey's Reach, Will has taken a job in Seattle, Washington. Will's a guy that was here with us that we were discipling with. He was a part of our staff. He's a part of our team. We were all teaching each other. Here's a guy now that has a part of Journey with him that's in Seattle, Washington. Wow, how about that? We have people just here in our immediate congregation that go from North Georgia all the way to Knoxville. We have tremendous influence. This thing can grow immensely. And it's not about numbers. It's about influence. It's about walking with others and teaching them how to walk with Jesus. That's the whole purpose of everything we do. And that's the reason I'm trying to boil this down and make this as simple as possible, is the role of an elder in this church or any church is simply to teach that concept. It's to teach you guys some of the things that we've learned so that you can have influence over others so that others can come to know Jesus Christ. That's our whole purpose in this. It doesn't matter if, you know, you work as an hourly worker, if you're a stay-at-home mom, if you're a business person. It doesn't matter what place in life you're at. That's what this is all about. That is the only purpose of the church, is to make disciples. That's what Jesus left us to do as a people, was to make disciples. And the way he told us to do that was through elders. The elders lead the church in making sure that what we're doing is making disciples. That's the whole purpose of the church. And we've made it so very complicated at times. And guys, what I want to do today is invite you to do this with us, to join us in this. I love the name Journey. Mark was the one, I didn't have a name for a church. And Mark has always talked about the journey and life being a journey. And it so fits. You know, it's like the Harley commercial. It's not, you know, it's not the destination, it's the ride, it's the journey, it's the how we do life together. And to me, that's become such an important part of this. It's how we do life together. And guys, that's what we want to invite you to do. As we expand our organization here, as we add other elders into the organization, just simply keep in mind the only reason for those elders here is to help teach you and help you to become a stronger Christian. So really, it's all about you, in a way. That makes everybody feel good. How many like to hear me say, it's all about you? That's a pretty good concept, and it is. Church is all about you. It's about strengthening your walk with Jesus Christ so you can share the gospel with others. Now, and I know this is maybe a very foreign concept for a lot of you that have grown up in a church where there is a religious professional that's his job is to share the gospel, and he does that on Sunday mornings, and I'll bring some people, you know, or I'll ask the pastor to go pray with people. That's okay. We're willing to do that, sure. But it's your responsibility too. And that's where somehow the church structure is broken down, is we're not making disciples, we're making church attenders. And we don't want to see that, because that's not what God wants us to do. He's told us to make disciples, not make a big organization. Now, if the organization becomes huge, that's fantastic, because that means more people are being reached for Jesus. Everything we do here should be a natural outpouring of our relationship with Jesus. All ministry that we do should be a natural outpouring of us becoming more like Christ. That's the purpose of ministry here. Absolutely, there are people in Chattanooga that are homeless, that are people that are poor, there are widows, there are orphans, there are so many people that need taken care of. Well, we don't start ministry and say, okay, let's go help those people and hope somebody becomes a disciple. That's got it backwards. We make disciples that are passionate about doing what Jesus would have done, and it's a natural outflow of their lives that they want to help others. They want to be involved in the community. They don't want to see suffering. They want to do what they can do to stop it, because that's what Jesus would have done. And that's what we want to instill in people here, is that desire to go the extra mile, to to be like Jesus, to do what Jesus did. And that's the whole role of elders, is to help guide that whole process. It's very simple. The hard part is not only for us as elders, but for you as Christians, me as a Christian, me as still a disciple. I've not arrived. The hard part is walking that every day and being like Jesus. And that's where we need to support each other and be here for each other and live life together. We need to be a family. We need to have the same concerns and the same burdens for everyone around us. And that's something you often don't see. Often the church becomes more wrapped up in its programs and building its numbers and things, and we forget about each other's needs. We forget about, you know, parents that are struggling with children or teenagers or grown children. We forget about people with addictions and problems. We forget about the lady that lost her baby last week. We forget about all these things that we're supposed to be doing life together in, so that Jesus Christ can shine through our lives. And that's what we want to do. That's going to be the role of elders here at Journey. The role of the elders will be disciplers. Anybody that's an elder here, that will be what they're tasked with, is to help you in your walk with Jesus Christ. Does that sound like a bad thing? Does that sound even controversial at all? I mean, it sounds like a good thing, doesn't it? It sounds like somebody's going to help you along. You're going to have, you know, in the secular world, you know what they call that? What the celebrities call that? Is you get a life coach. That's what it's called. It's getting a life coach. The problem is they leave out Jesus Christ out of it, but it's teaching you how to cope day to day. How do you think Charlie Sheen made a comeback? He got a life coach. Somebody told him, dude, you know, do a few things different. It's worked for him. If you're popular enough, you've got a doggone Halloween costume over here at Spirit with as screwed up a life as he did. Something worked, didn't it? Yeah, you can get you a Charlie Sheen Halloween costume. Yeah, anybody want to line up to get one of those? But there are things we do that we need a life coach for. We need somebody to help us on a daily basis to live life, to live it to its fullest, to make disciples, to go and have an impact in our community. And that's all the elders here are going to be about. Now, yeah, there's some organizational things and there's accountability between us so that things don't get sideways and wrong and the mission of the church doesn't get off track. Because what was Jesus' concern was keeping the integrity of the message of the gospel. And that's how the elders hold each other accountable, because everything is about making disciples so that that message can go forward. And I hope that's as simple as it is for you guys. I hope you understand that. Because I know this to me is not an exciting topic about how we govern the church and how things go together until you start realizing the impact it can have on the community as we become more like Jesus, which is what the whole role of this is. As we become more like Jesus, that's where it gets exciting. As we become more like him, we have impact on our community. We can help the hurting. We can help those that don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. There's so many things we can do like that. And guys, that's my prayer this morning, that as we go forward from today on, that everything that Journey does is to make passionate disciples of Jesus Christ, to make people that not only know him and know about him, but live life like he would live it, and that we support each other in that, and the elders are here to teach you in that. So, guys, the band would come back up. We're going to do a last song here. And, guys, I want you to reflect on this and pray about it and see, you know, what your thoughts are as far as maybe this has been completely enlightening for you as far as what the role of elders are and how they teach. Maybe it's something that's, you know, I knew all that. But the main thing I want to challenge you with this morning as we close is to live life like Jesus did. And that involves getting other people involved in your life so you guys can live life together. And I just pray that you'll do that today. That's so important for our own spiritual health, is to live life like Jesus. So guys, let's stand and let's have a word of prayer. Father, I thank you today. I thank you for sending your son to die for our sins, to die in our place, God. The things that he's done for us, the gospel message, who he was and what he's done for us. And Lord, I just pray that as an organization, that Journey's elders can lead others to know this truth and to spread this truth everywhere, God, that we come in contact with people, that they may know you and know you more fully, God, and that we can make passionate disciples of Jesus Christ, people that want to be here so they can learn about you and how you lived life and how you want them to live life, God. And that's my prayer this morning for Journey as a whole, God, that we can somehow impact others' lives, God, to show them the way that Jesus lived. Not because we've got it all together or that we know better than what they do, but so we can live life together and do this as a partnership, as a team, as a group of believers that love and care for each other and want this message to go forward in our community. God, I just thank you for everyone here this morning, God, and I just pray that as we go through our week, God, that you'll bring these things to mind and help us to learn how to apply them. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.